Yes, indeed. Talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show is on the way. Another episode, or another pledge drive edition episode. So we are indeed going to ask for your help.
We're beggars, and we're choosers as well, okay? We're beggars, not choosers, I'm sorry. Anybody can give us money right
now. That's right.
Anybody.
Anyone with any money.
Because it means you want to support community radio, and we appreciate people that want to support community radio.
That's right.
Anybody.
And you get a sweet gift, and you get the gift of a tax write-off, and the gift of giving back to an organization that's been a part of this community for over 30 years. And a part of an organization that lets us do this ridiculous show we're about to do.
Going on 8 years doing this show, I think, right? Something
yep.
like that?
8 years.
Eight years has allowed us to be here. That's worth a lot of money for them. I feel they've gone through a lot of pain and suffering with us.
That's right.
So that deserves some reimbursement for you, the listeners, because we're here for you. And they put up with us
for you
because we want to be here.
On behalf of everyone at the station, please send money.
We appreciate it.
Couple ways to do that. You can hit up the phones 530-895-0131, 530-895-0131. You can hit the website kzfr.org. You can, of course, go on Venmo at kzfr901.
If each one of our listeners just gave $1, boom.
Yeah, we're
money.
Good.
That's it. Each listener, $1.
Our goal for the show is $300. I will match up to 50 personally. So,
Drew with the big bucks over here right now, man. My dude rolling in it.
Yeah.
Dude.
50 whole dollars.
Tax season upon us.
Just trying to give back to the station that's given us so
maybe
much.
Maybe you came across a lot of money and just need to find a way to get rid of it without looking too suspicious.
Or maybe you don't have much money at all, but you don't want the IRS to get their grubby little hands all over it. Tax write-off, baby. 530-895-0131. You could also Venmo at KZFR901.
If anything gets me more pumped is to not give my government more money.
That's right.
That's what I want to do.
It's a great feeling. You know what else is a great feeling? The feeling Patrick Riley gives us. Patrick Riley is a real estate professional with Century 21 Select, specializing in properties in Chico and Butte Meadows. Patrick is dedicated to helping buyers and sellers achieve their real estate goals with kind, quality service. Patrick can be reached at 530-588-6593.
I don't know about you, but I feel pretty good.
Great.
Well, because of Patrick Riley.
Yeah, I always feel good
exactly,
when Patrick Riley's sponsoring the show.
It means the show's about to begin.
That's right. I also, once again, implore y'all, hit us up, Venmo, at KZFR901-530-895-0131, kzfr.org. Pledge Drive is going live right now. Make our phone volunteers work. Call us, 530-895-0131. All right, no further ado. Chico's number one sports talk radio show starts now.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that? I mean, we talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
All right. We have no idea what's going on, but it is Pledge Drive, baby. Y'all know the drill.
Always good to start the show off with a smile.
Great, thanks. Talking about practice, live, Pledge Drive Week, live, KZFR.org, Venmo, KZFR901. Call 530-895-0131. I'm your co-host, Drew. Alongside me, as always, partner in crime, co-creator of the show, Derek Isomaki.
What's good, party people?
We have a resident degenerate. If you got it, then spend it, because you can't take this money with you. Rudy Vasquez.
Let's go, baby.
And our producer is the word I was looking for. Producer. The one, the only. Stepman Brett.
Yeah!
All right. We all got in our signature calls.
You have to.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. Drive week, okay? Best show out there.
According to none.
What about your auntie?
Oh, number one according to my auntie.
Yeah, don't forget auntie.
Yeah.
You know what would also be a signature call? Our fans calling in to pledge.
Nice. 530-895-0131. That's one way you could do it. KZFR. .org, Venmo, KZFR901. All right, listen, we got a loaded show and we got pledge drive, so I'm going to do my best to keep it pushing. But one thing we have to do is we need to talk about your guys' bet. Last week, as we were leaving the show, you guys, Rudy and Derek here, made a bet. About the Giants and Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Who would take the series? I believe Rudy said loser takes the other one out to dinner.
Yes.
So I wanted to know if that dinner has been scheduled. If so, give us some details.
Was scheduled, but was postponed.
Yeah, of course.
By not me.
By me.
Yes. Yeah. We got a rain check. So rain those check, are
it's happening.
Rain checks are delicious. Yeah. You know. Yeah. Yeah. You know.
It will happen. I mean, the Giants did get swept. Close games.
Yeah.
Closer than I thought. I thought we'd squeeze one out of you guys, but it is what it is.
I mean,
so do your dinners, when they're postponed, do they come with interest?
I feel like it now has to jump up a little bit right now.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah. Initially, it was wherever he wants to go,
yeah.
I'm going to take him.
And then, I will say, he did kind of, you almost got out of it because he was trying to get me Frankie's tonight afterwards.
No, I did not say Frankie's. That was just in general.
That was okay. All right.
That was not me.
Okay. All right.
I'm not gonna do that to you, dog.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay.
I won't do that to you.
He'll take you to B Street.
A place I work.
Exactly.
One of those places, yes. But no, bet is like I said, we're rain checked, so I've got
okay. Well, keep us yes. posted on that.
Because it has to be because I feel like I have gotten the raw end of these bet deals for the show.
You have. Oh, absolutely.
And
I've taken you out.
No, yeah, but he's had to wear a hat.
General,
yeah.
The three different times that I bet Derek, Giants or Dodgers, the loser had to wear the opposing team's gear to the show. And three different times, miraculously, I have won. And when you look at the history of that recent rivalry, it's been pretty one-sided. I just happen to pick and choose the right time every single year to make Derek wear Giants gear.
And he's don't know how.
It's not gone the opposite way.
That was a beautiful hat last year.
It was, but listen.
I think my hat is burning because of that. My hat is burning, yeah. It will never be the same.
This show is notorious for bailing on bets, I believe. Brad and I are still to play one-on-one basketball at some point. You already went ahead and got the tattoo.
But not where we said it was supposed to be. But also, you said when I got that tattoo, you'd get that tattoo as well.
Ooh.
Like I said, the show.
Yeah, I was going to say. You said, if you get it, I get it.
That's the biggest one out of all of them.
Yeah,
dude.
You get it, I get it. Yeah. I got it, you didn't get it.
We're getting
We love to dig ourselves into big holes.
Yes.
Is what happened.
Yeah. It was also, you didn't think I was going to do it.
Double or nothing?
A back tattoo? Your whole back?
Full back? I already got it on the shoulder.
No. That is pretty damn big.
Anyway, let's get to sports. Once again, I want to remind the audience, pledge, drive, going now. 530-895-0131, KZFR.org, Venmo at KZFR901. All right, women's tourney is wrapped up. Caitlin Clark gets sent packing at her last game ever as a collegiate athlete for Iowa. That story comes to an end. The chapter on that career closes as she moves on to the WNBA, the presumed number one overall pick for the Indiana Fever coming up in a couple weeks. Congrats to South Carolina. We've talked a lot of women's hoops lately, and I spent some time yesterday and today trying to figure out how can we cover this story in a way that no one else is.
By not talking about Caitlin Clark, because I'm tired of hearing that damn name. Let's talk about South Carolina. They went undefeated and smoked them.
Yeah.
They out-rebounded them by like 30 or 40 rebounds.
I was going to say, the 30 or 40 rebounds, yes, but I don't think they smoked was the right word.
12, 12-14 point. They should have won by more.
Yes, they should have.
Yeah.
But I think that's a testament to Iowa and their defense.
It was an easier game for South Carolina than they thought it was going to be. That's what I saw. That's what I witnessed.
You mean a tougher?
Tougher for easier for South Carolina.
South Carolina's size was
very prominent.
Very prominent. Very bad problem.
Iowa had 0 points on the bench. Pretty sure, right?
Zero. Yeah. It was zero.
That's insane.
South Carolina had, 39 or something?
It ended up being 37. Yeah. 37 points off the bench to zero.
Yes. That's wild.
That's ridiculous.
That is crazy.
But still, and the fact that Iowa was that close, though, it does show that, I mean, I think, I felt like South Carolina just didn't really beat what they could have easily done. They should have just fed the post the entire game,
yeah,
it felt like.
True.
It was like, just every single time, go down low, they can't stop you down there.
Easy buckets, but... Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing that I've found interesting and kind of fun is all this debate about the way we cover women's sports. And it's like, welcome to the big time, ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of ignorant people, including us, talking about sports with hot mics in front of them. And yeah, the vast majority of the coverage isn't good. GOAT debates, all that. Welcome. This is what happens when you hit the mainstream. You get covered by poorly by a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you reach the top, all you're going to get is haters at that point in time.
Sure. Right? Yeah.
You know, that's all you can gain at that point in time. You already have enough adulation at this point.
Yeah.
You can't get that much more. You're going to only get people that are just going to detest you. And a lot of the looks like the detesting is coming from a lot of the WNBA stars who are not prepared to think that she's going to be down to the face of the league because of who she was. And I respect that. Like, these ladies will be like, we've been doing this for years already. Diana Taurasi in particular, she is somehow like Dracula. Like, that lady does not die. Like, she cannot. She is forever and ever a woman in the WNBA, I feel like. And she's like, I've been here forever, and now you're going to... Caitlin Clark is now... just popped up a couple years ago, and she's now the thing, which that's what happens. That's what we do. We latch on to these stars.
Exactly.
We latch on to these stories.
That's just a rotation, man.
And 100%. You know? So I can respect the ladies not liking that, because that's the young pup coming into the fold right now. And they're like, all right, welcome to the show, y'all. Time to eat. And this is what you're going to get. You know?
And I can't wait for Caitlin to go out there and ball.
I just think it's hilarious that all these women in the WNBA have been preaching the past couple of years about supporting women in sports, bringing them all up, and really, like...
They finally listen to me and realize that stuff and start hating.
And then you start getting these big names coming in, and they don't like it at all.
They don't like it, and they're jealous, because then, top of that, these college players are making more money than these girls in the pros.
Touche.
You know? Yeah. So I'd be pissed off, too, if I was in that situation.
Derek, did you enjoy the amount of hate that the UConn alum, so Bird, Taurasi, and what was the, who's the gal? Oh, goodness, the more recent one. Had Caitlin Clark just beat the record on. But they were hating on her, like how she's not going to be good, how Becker should be number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You have your sides. Pick your sides. That's what sports are. You have a side. You fight it to the tooth and nail, even though you're going to sound like an idiot. That's fandom right there. You know, and again, when people are saying, oh, we need to be... No. That's not sports. Sports isn't about the, oh, kumbaya, hold your hand, and let's all sing together.
We
all win. Yeah. No. It's all about winners and losers. It's all about haves and have-nots. It's all about hating and loving, all right? I love my team. I hate your team.
Yep.
Welcome to the big time, girls.
Welcome to the big time. And the ladies' games last week against LSU, they did 12 million viewers. And then that game, Iowa versus UConn, did 14.2, which beat every single Thursday night football game. And you have to understand, when you look at the ratings and the top 100 rated shows every year, the vast majority of them are all NFL games. And so it's just cool to see that the women do these type of numbers. What is kind of funny is the lack of perspective and the recency bias we all have. Like, oh my God, can you believe how many people are watching these? When Cheryl Miller debuted all those years ago, she did 11 million in her collegiate debut. So this isn't abnormal. What's different, the seismic change you see, or the inflection point you feel in women's sports, women's basketball in particular, is the fact that they're finally starting to get these mega machines, these corporate entities behind them to pour in money. A few years ago, there wasn't even a women's, like, before the basketball game, there wasn't a pre-show, there wasn't a post-show, there was very little in the way of halftime show.
they're on ESPN2 or ESPNU.
Yeah, and now we're putting them on primetime ABC, and I think everyone's realizing, oh, this is a cash cow. Let's get in on this, and it's about time.
At the same time, they're getting these numbers at not the best times throughout the day. The national championship game was at 12:30.
Why does your voice always go in the show?
I don't know. It really does.
Oh, every time.
it's like the second he gets in here, he gets frogged.
All right. But yeah.
He's clear. There we go.
But say the game was at 6 p.m. last night. I think those numbers would have been a lot higher than they were.
Did I not see it was like 18? Was the viewership
for last night?
I thought I saw it, but I'm saying
it could have been better.
I mean, it was Sunday in the middle of the day.
Yeah,
like that's usually a prime time day. Like you know, like an NBA Sunday afternoon is like I love those games.
Yeah,
you know, but
NFL obviously.
Yeah,
18.7 million.
That's huge. That is huge.
Could have been better.
Okay,
that is a lot. I think it would have been better.
But that's a lot for, like you said, that time frame. That
it's crazy.
Yeah. So that then becomes the most watched basketball game in ESPN history, and ESPN often has the finals.
And also is the most watched game since 2019
in any sport
or
just basketball in general.
All right.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Damn.
Wow. That's impressive. So shout out to the ladies, shout out to South Carolina, and big shout out to Dawn Staley, building a bit of what Gino Auriemma did with UConn down there. It's been impressive to see her third title now. She was also undefeated COVID year when they canceled the rest of the tourney. So, you know, shouts to them. Shall we talk a little baseball?
Yes.
All right. Okay, so a couple questions for you.
Yes.
Again, before we get into that, Pledge Drive, 530-895-0131, Venmo, KZFR, 901. I'm going to do that at the break, and I'm going to drop 50. You can go online, kzfr.org. There's a bunch of ways to get involved and help our little community radio station out. All right, we got 150 on the board already.
Nice. Let's
go. Halfway to the show goal. Let's go.
So real quick, to put the Iowa-South Carolina viewership in perspective, every World Series game, or they topped every World Series game since 2019, every Game 7, every NBA Finals game since Game 5, since 2017, every Daytona 500 since 2006, every Masters Final viewership since 2001, all but four college football games in 2023.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Very impressive.
Them's their numbers.
I mean, the social media generation right now is coming alive right there because we have been plastered with those athletes and we just saw it happen right there. 18.9 is ridiculous.
That's a crazy number.
Go. Yeah.
All right, let's talk baseball.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, now that we're, about a week and a half in?
Yeah.
Going on 2 weeks?
Series. Yeah. Your team is shaping up right now. Granted, it's still very early in the season.
Very early. Yes. So my question for you is, what definitive statements can you make this early in the season besides the Marlins are poopy-poop, butt-butt soup?
Every team is going to face some type of arm malfunction out there.
Yep.
What do you mean?
Pitchers are losing their arms left and right.
Everywhere.
It's scary. It sucks. It's not fun. Tommy John is going up and up right now, and it's only going to get worse at this point in time. That's a new thing. That's a big trend in baseball is this pitcher scare that's happening. We have seen aces go down. Spencer Strider is the biggest ace of them all. Shane Bieber is officially on that Tommy John list right now. If you look at the recent list, it is disgustingly filled with young talent. Yuri Perez is a big one too from the Marlins. It is unfortunate that we're losing these great arms to this game. Everyone's trying to blame the pitch clock on it. It's not that because the Tommy John issue has been going up since the pitch clock, before the pitch clock was instituted. It's compounding on the issues, no doubt. You're putting a lot of stress on these pitchers' arms, but we're asking so much of pitchers right now when it comes to throw your hardest stuff every single time. I want as much spin and rotation on that ball as you possibly can get without having the proper sticky stuff that you really need to get a proper grip on a ball because these balls are trash right now, apparently. No pitchers are loving them. They're not consistent in any way, shape, or form, and that is not good for this game because I think every fan wants to say, no matter what you're rooting for, you want to see the best talent out there. Because ultimately, when I watch a game, I want to see greatness. That's what I'm here for. I want to see the greatness in front of my eyes. And when you take these young stars out, you're eliminating that chance of greatness happening in front of you. And this game is filled with greatness around it. And to these arms going down like this is scary. I hope that they find a way to keep these guys around, because it just seems like it is a domino effect that is happening. And
man, I'm reading some of these names.
It's disgusting.
There's a lot of people. A lot of people have some significant time.
So much, and they're not just the career defining ones. Because Shane Bieber for the Guardians right now was dealing in his first games right there, was looking fantastic, and he's on a contract year right now. Going out there and you can deal this year, you can pick up $150-200 million right there. This is a season you can define your life, and he gets thrown out because of the Tommy John issue. And it's not just Major League Baseball. That's the thing. It is young kids everywhere. They're throwing baseball. It started the one of the biggest Tommy John doctors in the world right now is doing Tommy John's at a record rate on high schoolers and younger than that.
That's insane.
On these kids, because again, they're asking you to throw the hardest thing you possibly can every single time. Throw your best fastball, throw your best changeup, throw your best curveball. And that puts so much stress on you, and you're not giving them the spider attack stuff was an interesting time, but there's a way to have a tacky ball that gives the pitchers that proper grip on there where they can get it, because you're forcing it. There's a great interview that Tyler Glasnow does when he was the Tampa Bay Rays a few years ago when they started banning the spider attack. And he was saying that the grip that you have to now do is putting so much stress on your forearm, on your muscles, into your elbow, that it's just impossible at times. And you're going to throw something out. Like something hurts a little bit, then it just, the next outing out, it's gone.
Yep.
And it just, they're so, their arms are so fragile, and they're doing an unnatural motion. Something that we have to realize. Throwing a baseball, it is an unnatural bodily motion. And we're just asking these guys to do it over and over again as hard as you possibly can. So I hope they figure it out, because it's, we want this. I want the best out there.
Yeah. Are you surprised by the parity in the NL West to start the season?
No.
Every team besides the Dodgers is below 500.
It's going to be a dog-eat-dog world in that division.
Yeah.
And I think it's not just that. It's going to be everywhere. Because every team, for the most part, other than like the Marlins, got better. Yeah. The NL Central.
The Marlins started off as sweet 0-9, and now they're 1-10.
They're going to look, and they're getting battered by the Yankees at this point in time. That the NL Central was a laughing stock last year. Both Central divisions were laughing stocks last year. Both of those are not great, but they're all good. All those teams in there can be around 500 teams. And when you have that many potential teams to be around 500 and above, you're going to just get eaten alive out there. So every team at some point is going to be able to win out there. That's the thing that's like kind of scary about this whole thing. As a Dodger fan, I don't like our juju going into the season right now. It is not looking good. And it's just rough, granted, early on. But I'm a very superstitious fan when it comes to just like you want to look the part, you know. And unfortunately, the Braves do look the part, but that Spencer Strider loss is going to be massive for them, depending on how long it's going to be. But their lineup is so disgustingly deep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dodgers and you guys. Dodgers and the Braves.
Our
are the
bottom
two.
Half of the lineup is very weak right now. It's got to do better, but obviously our 1-2-3 is just like, with Will Smith, 1-2-3-4, obviously, yeah. Is disgusting.
It's unreal.
I mean, watch out for, and it's not just the parity in the NL West. Like, what? Look at the AL East right now.
Oh yeah,
The Orioles are having some struggles. They had a tough series against the Pittsburgh Pirates, because the Pirates are good right now. The Pirates have a bunch of young dudes. O'Neill Cruz being one of those studs that are just coming on right now. Jack Zawinski over there as well. I mean, teams have gotten, a lot of these teams were bad for a long time, so they got a lot of early picks, and they're coming up right now. And like I said,
panning out.
The Chicago Cubs had a great offseason. That Shota Imanaga signing was massive for them. He looks amazing. Obviously, getting Cody Bellinger back is fantastic. And like I said, the Reds, I talked about them last time, is going to be... Yeah, every team is good. And every team can win every night. It's not just... There's no real true garbage out there other than the Marlins and the Colorado Rockies, really, for the most part.
And the A's.
And the A's just took down the Detroit Tigers.
They did, 2 out of 3.
They have a stud over there in Mason Miller, A's. I got to give that guy some shout-out. Yeah. That's a young son. I don't want to say it, but he's going to go Tommy John at this point in time. Dude threw 101, 100 paint on the corners, and it's disgusting.
He's dealing.
You just hope he can last. And that's what you just, every single time you see these numbers that are so fast, the velocity is just so quick in baseball right now. It's awful. It's awesome to see as a fan. Oh my gosh, look at that heat coming at you. But like, it scares me too. Like knowing what that heat is going to deliver.
Yeah, and if you're, this is a real issue for baseball moving forward. But as much as we've given Rob Manfred a hard time on the show, you have to at least salute him a little bit on being willing to innovate and adapt. And I imagine this is something they'll take a look at in the off season and try to address and try to sort out. So
I mean, I'm sure in the pitch clock by 2 seconds this year was not a good look. You already got the game to 2.5 hours at this point.
Wait,
in time
it's
right
shorter
now.
By 2 seconds?
It's shorter by 2 seconds.
You gotta
right
be
now.
Kidding me.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, this is how he's
are you for
so
real?
You're gonna have to catch and pitch here shortly in the next 5 minutes.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I said,
this is not just on the pitch clock. This has been a growing trend in baseball before the pitch clock was on. But that being said, the pitch clock just compounds the problem already that's going to be happening. You're not giving these guys enough time to rest in between. And not to mention, I've talked about it before, I love the dance between the pitcher and the batter. And you're losing a lot of that dance that happens.
Yeah.
And it's a fun thing.
Like, I didn't mind the whole checking the guy at first, that rule. Because there's guys that... guys that abuse it. I'm like, okay, 12 times in one at-bat, not fun to watch. And you just get tired and bored of it. I understood that one. The pitch clock was where...
Yeah, you want to keep the game sped up. I do. And you love the fact that fans were back on this season. And they were. But you got to protect the talent out on the field.
So we'll see how they do that.
Yeah. Sorry for that long rant, y'all. That was a very
good baseball
rant.
Good?
Yeah.
Let's jump into the break a couple minutes early just because we still have foot and mouth. The top of the table in the Premier League is an incredible race right now.
We have to talk NBA, too. Somehow, some way.
Yeah, we got to get West hoops in.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, we could be headed towards another clash between the Warriors and Lakers, or Warriors and Kings.
Lakers and Kings.
For a play-in situation.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Laker-King matchup.
I want the Lakers.
Bring it back. I love it.
We already beat you guys last year. I don't care about about the Warriors.
Okay. Anyways.
All right.
Steph is scary.
Always.
Yeah, that's why I would not rather not play him, man.
All right, that's a good break. Yeah, you're listening to Talking About Practice. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. We are doing our pledge drive live. Matter of fact, I'm going to Venmo KZFR myself and show you how easy this is. While I do a read, I could do two things at once. Look at me. It's called multitasking, people. Most men can't do it, but here I am, donating money, getting a tax write-off, and doing radio all at once. Shouts to me.
That's a trifecta in life.
You're right there.
That's right, baby.
You can die a happy man.
We want to give a shout-out to our friends over at Digital Path, providing high-speed internet for your home or business. Digital Path offers flexible plans with expanded data and speeds up to 200 megabytes per second. Details about Digital Path service are available at 800-676-PATH. That's 800-676-7284 and at digitalpath.net. And just like that, I have pledged $50 to Talking About Practice, to KZFR, to our local community radio station that has given us the ability to bring you this show and this nonsense for nearly 8 years now. We want to thank everyone who has pledged over the years. Who's pledged so far today?
We got Ron and Aaron. I'm not too sure if that was meant to be Rod, but Ron and Aaron. So thank you guys so much.
Thank
you really
to both
appreciate
of them.
It.
If it was Rod.
Yeah. Which he's been doing it consistently. Statman Dad.
Yes.
Every single year. So as Statman Dad, if you haven't already.
Yeah, shout out to Statman Dad. Also, shout out to Ron.
Yeah, thank you, Ron.
Big shout out to Ron. Big shout out to Aaron. Big shout out to Statman Dad. Shout out to myself for the $50 I just donated. I encourage each and every one of y'all to get up there. We're now only $100 short of our goal. We could do that.
There's some cool stuff out there, too, guys.
There's really good prizes.
Nice shirts. Some
tickets, hats, paraphernalia, all sorts of stuff, man. 530-895-0131. You can pledge now. You can also Venmo at KZFR901. And, of course, online, KZFR.org.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have anything?
I was gonna say all the cool kids Venmo, so you know.
Yeah. KZFR 901 on Venmo. I just matched up to $50. Who's next? We need that. Capital improvements around here. Last time we got an HVAC unit, which was sorely needed. We got a brand new board we're going to be installing here sometime later this month, which we're excited about. That's going to also give us the ability to no longer have to call Erin, but we could Zoom her so she could hang out a little bit longer and be more of a part of the fabric that is this show. She's arguably the most popular segment is when she's on with us each week, and we're going to get our foreign correspondent on in a minute. But first, we catch up on what's going on around the world. Derek Isimaki has the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isimaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, obviously, a lot going on, so I gotta only give you one story today. Which sucks, because I have three really good ones. So
I'll save two of them.
All right.
It's still news if it's, yeah, it's still the news. First time
yeah,
you've
first
heard
time,
of it.
Yeah. Should I give you options of which one you want to
yeah,
hear?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. I'm gonna give you a couple. Give you a few options right now. A man fakes his death to get out of paying child support. Okay. We got scientists genetically modifying mice with limbs where the genitals are.
Oh.
And we have hyper sexually active zombie cicadas coming your way.
Huh. As much as I want to hear about the zombie cicadas, I think we have to start with
child support. No? I don't know.
Yeah, I think the faking the death.
Okay. They all right. Sound great.
All right, so dad of the year right now, guys. Dad of the year here for you. Jesse E. Kiff, 39, has unfortunately pleaded guilty to faking his own death to essentially get out of paying child support. Father of the year right there, man. Like, I'd rather be dead than having to pay for you, my dude. I don't want anything to do with you. I'm only the jokes I want to make right now because I appreciate everyone in this room too much. That being said, Jesse Kiff.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, you're welcome. I still made it. So Jesse Kiff found a way to access and hack into government databases and use a actual story of someone's death that happened from an actual doctor and replace his name with it and hacked into several state databases to do this.
Oh,
my man was...
He went deep.
He went deep. Very deep. Now, he had $100,000 worth of child support payments and back pay that he had to pay that he did not want to pay. So that's what you do.
I see.
That's
okay.
What you get out of... You get
back
a pay
in the corner. You have to... Yeah.
You got to fake your own death. You got to do it. Fortunately for him, he still got caught. And then, fortunately, being caught has made that $100,000 child support payment ballooned up.
Ooh.
To over $1 million now.
Oh!
Is his bond. And he's facing... 30 years in prison.
Damn.
For this act right now. Of,
so wait, if you're in prison, how are you going to pay for child support?
Well, they still find a way.
Yeah, you're right.
Because like you can like you know work in prison and they will...
That's true. For 25 cents an hour, yeah. That's true. That's a lot of...
Chipping away, my man. Let's go. You can do it. So Jesse Kiff right now. It doesn't. The thing that sucks about this, it doesn't say how the death was. Like what type of death was it? If you're going to fake your death... I mean, you obviously want to make it believable, so he took a real death that happened and just replaced names and whatnot, and he made himself the official one to say that he did actually die. So he signed his own death certificate.
That's incredible.
That's awesome. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
I certify that I am dead.
Yeah. I'm here by the name of...
identify as death right now.
Yes.
Okay.
Have you noticed that the trend seems to be that the vast majority of dumb criminals that you share on this show happen to be men?
They're very bold in what they think they can do, which is, I think that's the greatest thing. You have to have, to be dumb, you have to have that boldness in you.
Yeah, the irrational confidence to pull it off.
And I have to say, the ability to hack into these systems scares me to none end how easy it is to get into these systems right now. Because this guy cannot be smart.
That's what
I mean,
I'm
he obviously has some type of smarts.
If he did
in him.
That, but he was able to,
do it?
Hack into that system.
I mean, he could be just really smart and lazy, and then he realized, oh wait, I need to like back myself out of the corner. So time to use my brain.
It's like you could have used this for so much more, man.
Yeah.
Like maybe invested into like actually paying your money off legally.
Yeah,
you know?
Somehow, somewhere.
Software engineers get paid pretty well.
Pretty well, my man.
Sounds like you could have just got a better job.
Better job and just
I know it's not as fun, man, as like pretending to be dead and finding like that.
If you could hack into the system and...
you could probably do some pretty cool things.
You could probably...
Yeah. You could hack Google, your way out of being Apple. In jail.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, potential, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. Now, I mean, I will say, kid, watch out in like 15 years, you know, schools look alive.
Sheesh.
But that's the news for the day.
All right.
Wow. Damn.
Oh,
hacking in to get some good grades, that's all he's saying.
Yeah, we got it, dude. as we do around here each and every week, we bring on Aaron to class up the show a bit and cover the sports we didn't pay enough attention to over the weekend, so we'll do that now. Aaron, hello.
How's it going, guys?
We're doing well, just in the middle of a pledge drive. We're just $100 short of our show goal, so we're we got 22 minutes to get there, so we're depending on our wonderful listeners to do that. How are you doing?
So good. I would like to say I am being a good advocate for you guys. I did put it in our family group chat that Derek is begging for help. So
nice.
If someone's trying for one of these siblings, it's not Derek.
Fair enough.
I mean, in all fairness, Aaron has been probably our most consistent supporter of the show.
Yep.
From day one.
Stepman, Dad, and Aaron.
They are Mount Rushmore of fans. Out
couldn't
there.
Agree yeah. more.
So, Aaron, you have every right to rub my face into it.
Mm-hmm. I do. That's true. I will take any chance I can get.
You never miss.
Thank you.
All right. So
it hurts me.
There's so much to talk about with you in so little time. We have F1. We have WrestleMania. We have a hockey update.
Fuck yeah.
And I did want to talk Masters Week a little bit. Obviously, we'll cover it a lot more next week. So wherever you want to start, the floor is yours, Aaron. We'll just follow you there.
Yeah, I'll just go really quick because honestly, I want to spend a lot of time on WrestleMania. Yes. It was fantastic this weekend. But we do have NHL playoffs starting on April 20th. That's right, 4/20.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
Less than 2 weeks away. I think the biggest news here is that the Sharks didn't make it and they are fighting for the bottom with the Blackhawks. It's a toss-up that they might actually win.
Let's
the
go.
Number one pick in the draft.
So
they're going to need it.
So in the in hockey, is it just straight up by record or is it like a draft?
To be perfectly honest, Rudy, I don't know. But if it's the worst record, then
we're good.
It's a draft system.
It is a draft system.
Yeah, yeah. Similar to the NBA.
Gotcha.
So good times there. F1 was in Japan this weekend. Not much to say on that other than our boy Max Verstappen took number one. I am really sad because Daniel Ricciardo didn't even make it one lap. I don't think he even made it to the third turn. I love that guy, and it is such a bummer to see him not doing well. Makes me scared for his career. But, you know, Red Bull is doing what they do best and winning everything.
Shouts to Carlos Sainz and that podium finish as well, though. That was fantastic on his part again. Yeah, still without a seat.
So let's get to what you really want to talk about. Let's talk WrestleMania.
Yes.
You know what? It was, I hate to say it, but it was such a great show that they put on. For the last 3+, almost 4 years, Roman Reigns has been the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Cody fought for it last year. Everyone thought he was going to win, and he did not. But this year, he won it in spectacular fashion. We got to see John Cena, The Rock, and Undertaker all make appearances in that
awesome
fight.
Love it.
It was truly amazing, and it's really funny when you watch with a real fan like my husband. The music, it would play one note, and he would be like, oh,
just
Undertaker.
Done.
And I don't know any of this, but he was right every single time.
That's awesome.
He was thrilled. It was amazing. It was a great way to close it out. Jason Kelsey came out the night before, and one big thing throughout the weekend was, you know, the new era, and no one said it, but it's the new era sans Vince McMahon. I have a feeling he was a huge part in the reason that Roman Reigns was there for so long, and everyone talked about the new era, And it's very interesting. It's going to be really fun to see where the WWE goes without Vince McMahon. But I think they're doing a great job. I don't know how many people really miss him, but I don't think the fans do.
Yeah, see you later. Yeah. That guy was a weirdo. The things he's accused of are horrible. So let's not stay there. It's great to get all the nostalgia of Undertaker coming back and The Rock and watching some of the clips. I felt like a kid again watching some of that stuff. It was awesome. So
I wish I liked wrestling.
It's a great job.
It's fun, man.
I used to be a big fan, but that was when I was a kid.
I was never allowed to watch it as a kid.
Damn, that sucks.
Yeah. It was fun watching the Hardy Brothers, Undertaker, and all those guys.
Stone Cold, Generation X,
Kane,
X-Pac. Let's go.
That was beautiful.
Oh, man. All right. Shall we get to bad life advice?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So we have two here this week and a follow-up. Do you want to start? Well, I'll start with, let's see, we got 13 minutes left, so I'm going to bang through these as quick as I can.
Do you need 13 minutes left?
Yeah.
Do math. Don't do math on air, my man.
Yeah. We have 17.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do math.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's okay.
That's basic math.
Hey, this is one of...
Actually, this is running a little fast. We have 18 minutes.
Yeah.
So
one of the few rules we have on the show is never math on air, and I just did, and I erred by mathing on air. Let's keep it moving. Parking problem. Dear TBP, former D2 volleyball player here.
Woo-woo.
Let's go.
Love it. I recently moved into a new apartment in San Francisco in a fairly busy neighborhood, which will tie into the story here in a moment. When I first came to check out the apartment and met with the property manager, the apartment was just within my budget, has a nice view, and is close to my work. One of the first questions I had in regards to the apartment involved a secure parking spot. The property manager mentioned that the owners of the apartment worked out an agreement with the building next door as they had a surplus of parking spots, and that it would be only an additional $259 a month. The first day in my new apartment, I attempted to park in the garage next to my apartment, and my key fob wouldn't work. I called the helpline and was told the fob was deactivated and they would need to talk to the owner of the apartment and verify me as a new tenant. Of course, I let my property manager know this, and she said that she would work to have the issue resolved within 24 hours. 2 weeks passed without a clear resolution of my parking issue, and I called the property manager multiple times, and she said there is an issue that they are looking to resolve and that they would reimburse me for any parking fees I had incurred. In the meantime, I had to park in a paid garage blocks away from my apartment as a single lady living in SF. This is less than ideal, especially when I get off work late some nights. After a month, the property manager said that in order for me to have the parking spot, the monthly rates had gone up nearly double to $500 a month. Feeling I had no other option, I agreed to pay and was told that they would send a check for my parking fees from the previous month, totaling $1,400. I still have not received that check, and that was over a month ago, not to mention that I am now paying double the agreed-upon rate. I reread my lease, and it unfortunately does not say anything about the guaranteed parking spot for $250, so I'm afraid that I don't have much legal recourse here, and I am stuck in a one-year lease. If you were in my position, what would you do? Aaron, we'll start with you. Do you have any ideas for our friend here?
Yeah, well, so it's California. I wonder how difficult it really is to get out of a lease there. I know that, unfortunately, there is a lot of laws in place that are very renter-friendly, so they might just be happy that you're leaving. If you go to the property manager and be like, hey, things have changed. I still haven't gotten that $1,400 check. It's gone up to a lot of money. I'm just going to stop paying rent or let me out of my lease and see if that works. I mean, don't do the I'm just going to stop paying rent thing, but just go politely and see what they say.
Yeah, I agree with the softer approach. I think one thing you could do is if you do not get your reimbursement check by the end of this month, just short them that amount, right? That doesn't solve your entire parking problem, but I would just short that $1,400 off your total rent and say, don't worry about the reimbursement. I got me. But I don't know how your rent situation is set up. Unfortunately, you're right. There are a lot of renters' rights, but unfortunately, There's still a lot of slumlords out there. Not saying that that's your situation. The parking in a major city can always be a nightmare, and you're not the first person I've heard get caught up in one of these situations. Yeah, it's a tough one. Oh no, you guys got anything for our gal here?
I think we got you kind of covered. I mean, yeah, you're it's, I mean, do you want to move? I guess like that's one of the questions. Like, you don't want to move, do you? Moving sucks. Moving's like the devil's work. So, you know, if you, and I get it, the hike up is never fun, but I mean, get out of SF, I think, at that point in time. But you're probably there for a job, which good for you.
Yeah, she said the apartment's close to her house. So I think she wants to live there. She just needs to resolve this parking.
The apartment's close to our house.
Yeah, classic line.
Well done. Well done.
I was going to say
it. I was like,
well, the apartment is close to our house.
Yeah, I know what you're trying to say there. Yeah. I know that. Yeah, I was okay. There we go. We got it.
Let's move on, shall we?
Please.
Core Group best Division. Of luck. Yeah, best of luck to you. Core Group Division. What's up, Aaron and boys? I'm a former intercollegiate flag football player and a pretty awesome Papa Shot legend.
Hey. Okay.
Hello, friends of TBT.
Is this Jordan Booth?
Yeah. Right. The most irrationally competent man I've ever met in my life. Shout out to Jordan. He went to the Giants game with us this weekend. I'm writing you all to get some feedback on some core group division my friends and I are facing. My core group consists of a few dudes from high school and a handful of friends from college. We've all been boys for at least a decade now, and for the past 10 years, this group has managed to stay really close. We take biannual trips with nearly 100% attendance, except for major family events or health insurance, health issues, etc. But for the most part, everyone's always there. This past winter, during a skiing trip, two of the guys, we'll call them Bob and John, got into a drunken fist fight. Since then, the group dynamic hasn't been the same. In the group, this has led to most people taking one or the other side. The fight was over some trivial nonsense. Bob and John started arguing over basketball, and it escalated really fast. Next thing you know, they were personal jabs tossed, then physical ones. Half the group is on Bob's side, half the group is with John. I'm kind of in the middle. I see it from both sides and think it was just one dumb drunken night, not to be taken all that serious. It's not the first time someone in this group has got into it with another member, but we are getting older, and I feel like our life is too short to hold grudges. It is time for us to plan our summer trip, and we do not have much momentum as our group chat has been pretty dead. I mentioned that if we wanted to get something on the books, that we should begin planning a trip. And I was just met with a few sures, and yeah, I'd be down with a noticeable contingent of participants missing. I know you guys talk a lot about core groups and have had many listeners write in asking for advice about their own group. So I know this is cliche to write in and ask, but my question for you all is my core group dynamic in trouble, and what can I do to intervene? Thanks. Love the show. Keep up the good stuff. We love you. And one way to show us love is hit us up, KZFR901 on Venmo, 530-895-0131, KZFR.org. We are $80 away from our goal. Aaron, let's start with you. Is his core group dynamic in trouble? And is there anything our friend here can do to intervene?
My thought would be to get Bob and John together and get them to iron things out. You're right. If they are good friends, you know, we've all said things we've regretted to the ones that we love the most. It happens. We're all human. We make mistakes. If you can get Bob and John to come together, and then, you know, maybe all the sides will fall in line. But that would be my thought process, is to get them to, you know, forgive and let live.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if you could get those two together, you eliminate a lot of the issues presented. I think you could save it. And what I will say is, as a member of two core groups, the older we get, especially for God, well, I think for everyone, it just gets harder and harder to have these relationships, to make new relationships. And so this is something that you are in a delicate time, and this is really a time to try and get everyone on the same team and to put any pettiness behind you, because you're right, life is too short to hold grudges, and you really, they're called core groups for a reason. You don't have a ton of them, and I'm telling you, if you lose this opportunity, it's going to hurt, and you're not going to have having a biannual trip with your guys is awesome. If I get one trip together with all the boys per year, that's an awesome year. You know what I mean?
Somebody's got to swallow the ego. Both of them do in particular, you know.
Yeah.
That's what's got to happen. And yeah. Like I said, yeah, it's all about Bob and John getting them figured out. Because that's happened to a group with me before where friends have gotten it. It just was never the same.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Can you... What's your financial situation like? Could you guys, if they're being unreasonable, could you guys all pitch in and get an arbiter and just hit them up with like, yo, listen here, guys. This group dynamic means a lot to us. As we're getting older, people are getting married, people are having kids. It's going to be harder and harder to get together. This is one of the few things that I get to look forward to in my life. So can we all throw in $100 and get an arbiter and sort this out and get these guys to put aside their pettiness for the greater good of the group. I think that would be hilarious.
Or you just have Bob and John fight to the death and there only can be one.
Yeah.
I like that idea better. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a better idea.
Problem solved.
So real quick, thank you to Steph and Lawrence. They just got us above our goal. Let's see if we can beat it. We're at 320. Let's see if we can keep going.
Double it up, boys.
Yeah, double it up.
Double or nothing.
640.
We get 600, we get nothing.
Shout out to my wife. That's support, man.
Let's go, Steph.
She's a real one.
Is she actually listening right now? Wow.
Yeah.
Shocker.
She's off work and she's trying to go get us a seat at the bar.
Hey,
I'm telling you.
My wife is a real one.
She's sitting in the car right now then.
Oh, she's probably driving, I would imagine. Okay. I don't know. I don't know where she is. I actually do. I have her location. Let's track her live time and tell everyone where my wife is. I'm just joking.
Smart idea.
Aaron, excellent as always. Thank you for your time and we'll catch up with you next week.
Talk to you later, guys.
All right, later. All right, we have so much to still get to. Do we do... Rudy's picks. Do we do North State update? Do we do foot and mouth? Where do you guys want
to
start?
I think we need to do North State update right now. This is a pledge drive right now. Let's give these people a reason to pledge and give a little North State action.
Yeah, let's do it. Absolutely. Let's look out for the community.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update. That is right. It is time for the North State Update. First, we're starting off with softball. Still a little bit of a struggle of a season as they're 11-19 overall, 10-14 in conference, and a little 41 win percentage. Not the greatest year for them, but they did come away with a split weekend as they beat East Bay 2 out of 4, and they lost the front and the back end of the series. So their next game is going to be at Cal Poly Humboldt. Still so weird to say. On April 12th and April 13th, doubleheader on both days. Their next home game is going to be the last series of the year, April 26th and 27th against Cal State San Marcos. There are three more series for them to make up a little bit of ground. That is 12 games. They have 12 games to make up a little bit of ground to see if they can make it into the CCAA playoffs. Wishing you guys the best. And 8 of those games are going to be on the road. Now going to baseball, they are 20-12 overall. They had a hot start to the season. They're 15-12 in conference as they went 3-1 this weekend against Cal State San Bernardino. Winning the first three and losing in a tight game in a 7-inning matchup, 8-9. So their next game is going to be at Colorado Mesa. So they're heading this weekend over to Colorado to play Colorado Mesa in Grand Junction, Colorado. So good luck to you guys. Their next home game is going to be at home against Cal State Monterey Bay, the 19th, 20th, and 21st. And that's the North State Update.
I think Grand Junction is like the meth capital of the world.
Wait, wow. it's not Orville?
That's like, I think that's second.
Second, yeah, okay. Yeah. I was going to say.
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive. Somebody beat them. Good for them.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to Grand Junction.
Yeah, I was going to say, Colorado Mesa might be tough to beat.
Okay. Okay. Oh, man, we are off the rails again, and that's where I love to be. Let's get into some degeneracy with Rudy's picks.
I gotta tell you, it's just occurred to me what the student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy.
I'm gambling again.
Just listen to your damn boy last week.
Yep.
But the plus 5,500, make that money. Just listen to the show. You might hit, you might not. I hit last night. We're going to hit again this week in Masters Week, a fully loaded field. Everyone, LIV and the PGA Tour, both combined. So there's heavy hitters left and right. And the people I'm going to hammer is Scottie Scheffler. He's only at plus 375 with this field.
What's Tiger at?
It doesn't matter. He's not going to win.
I don't know. I think he's plus 5,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That way, around plus 5,000, that's it.
Scheffler is plus 375.
Plus 375. That's I'm going to hammer that because he's. I think he's going to win.
Yeah.
He's been playing lights out.
This will be his second. That will be his second green jacket, right? He's already won it once,
yes,
correct?
Yes, it would be his second one.
But he hasn't won it yet. Got to win it.
Yes. Yeah. Scottie Scheffler, plus 375. Matsuyama, 2,500. Wyndham Clark, 1,500. My boy Auberg got plus 2,200 and a couple of long shots for you. Ricky Fowler, once again, he plays good at the in Atlanta. Plus 7,500, Thigala plus 5,000. And my sleeper that no one's talking about, but his odds are pretty good, though. Joaquin Niemann at plus 2,500.
These are all the win, you're saying.
Yeah, so those are my those are going to be my dogs for the weekend. But like I said, Clark, Matsuyama, Scotty, Xander, they're all playing pretty good this year. But as Scotty, man, he is just, he's lights out. He figured out his putting. And, dude, he's playing good. At plus 375, we haven't seen that since Tiger Woods.
I was just saying.
Since he's made that run, so.
I was looking at some of the betting odds, and there was one year where Tiger was minus 125 or something like that.
Probably to make the cut.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is a, I hope Tiger doesn't make the cut.
I'm over it.
Nah, I want him in on Sunday. It makes it more interesting.
It would be crazy if he did.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be the story, yeah.
But he's probably going to get hurt and withdraw, which sucks. Trust me, I'm a Tiger fan myself.
I think at this point in time, Tiger loves limping off a golf course.
Yeah, he loves that attention. Yeah.
I shouldn't say he's pimping off a golf course at this point. Yeah, he's pimping off a golf course.
No, he said he is no longer having intercourse before leading up to major tournaments as a way to not distract himself.
All good. To pimp off the golf course.
He has his girls waiting for him.
So I was about to ask, but I found it myself. Kurt Kitayama plus 25,000,
and I'm gonna throw $5.
Yeah, why not? Let's take
as
let's,
you should.
But collectively, throw
he hasn't done a damn thing ever since he won. So just
legally, of course, we're talking legally, about driving in Nevada and betting.
Yes, of course.
I just want to make sure everyone is clear.
We're gonna call Kitayama a sprinkle on him.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's a plus 125 for to be top 40.
No, he's gonna do well.
You think he's gonna make the cut?
Yeah, he should make the cut at least.
Guys, can we get $5 pledged right now? Because I think we did $320 last in the fall, and that would put us over last year's total.
Did it really?
We need $5. That's all we need. Venmo at KZFR901. We need $5 to beat last year's total. I know y'all got it in you. $5. That's it. We have about 1 minute to talk football and basketball. Lakers Warriors play tomorrow night. That's cool.
That's big.
Yeah.
Massive game.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that the West is this close right now.
It's unreal.
It's stupid. The fact that these teams could still technically get out of the play-in game as well.
Technically
they could.
They would need an epic collapse from the Suns and the Mavs and the
I believe the Kings are playing the Suns.
That's right.
On Friday.
Friday. They have a game. So that's
the Pelicans are in town in SAC on Thursday night.